Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, people at home!
What's up with that?
You ready?
Look at the gods, the drugs from my generation, and it's a sin. The gods, the fiends, the fraud, the messing with me. Come on, come on, come on!
Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Let's get it out.
Yo ho ho and a bottle of Dom,
bro.
The new day.
Let me talk to you,
baby.
If I can be serious for a minute.
For the love of God, stay away from the dipper dogs.
Move to the music, play that music. Move it to the music.
Acknowledge me.
Gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is BC Tunney. I am your commissioner and the commissioner
of the United States
of damn dare Americas. And I am joined, as always, by the man, the myth, the legend, the other half of the world's greatest tag team never. It's him. It doth be DPP.
A lot to unpack on the first Raw of Netflix. Let's go.
That was fun. Joining us as well. Which is wonderful, because I'm not sure how often he'll be joining us in the near future, as scheduling has not been great for him. Maybe him and I'll be doing some side projects here in the meantime. But tonight, none other than the funky, phenomenal trickster himself, it's AJ Balazs.
What's that crapping in, everybody? Yeah, thankfully doing a government job, and they said, hey, Jimmy Carter passed away. His funeral is going to be January 9th, so we have a day of mourning. And I went, that's a Thursday. That's a DWI day. I'm coming back, baby.
Jimmy Carter
fixed my damn schedule.
Jimmy Carter's last gift to professional wrestling is having AJ available for the DWI podcast number 458, by the way. And it is a special return here. We've been gone for 3 weeks, folks. We hit you with a classic 2 weeks ago, and there was holiday hijinks up there a couple weeks before that. But we haven't had a brand new DWI podcast since December 13th, 14th, somewhere around there. But we're back now. And we'll be back for the road to WrestleMania. It's one of our longer breaks ever, but we're back now. And more importantly, we're not alone. Making his way through the flames and smoke of California. What the hell is going on out there, Dave? Steve Gutenberg is fucking moving cars for people.
Playing George Costanza.
Yeah, it's bad, man. It is. And I've heard from, it's not bad. We're 100 miles north of it. But for the folks down there, it's a couple people have talking to some other attorneys I work with. People have lost their homes. It's one of the guys says, whatever you're seeing on the news, it's 10 times worse than what you're seeing. And I believe it. And I got nothing, man. I mean, it's like, we always have these Santa Ana winds, but when they're hurricane force, like they have been in 100 mile per hour gusts rolling down through California, that Southern California, that's unheard of. And you can't fight that.
What I've heard is even the planes that they use to kind of scoop water and bring it in and try to put little spots strategically because of the winds, it just kind of disperses and doesn't do anything.
Yeah, you drop water and it ends up 10 miles away. Like the one of the big fires in Altadena, which is right above Pasadena, was basically like just a spark from, you know, embers from the Palisades fire that blew into somebody's backyard, caught the backyard, a little teeny fire, wind caught it, shot it up the side of a hill, and it's all over. And it's just, yeah, I mean, yeah, the stuff guy, I think I sent Ray a picture of some drone footage of the Palisades. It looks like it looks like Hiroshima after the A-bomb was dropped on it. There's nothing left. Yeah, I know we're going to talk, you know, Raw on Netflix, man, they got out of there in the nick of time, because a day later, I mean, I'm not sure how NXT happened at the Shrine Auditorium with all that shit going on, but any later than that and none of that stuff's happening.
Yeah.
Aren't they still in California for the next Raw?
They're going to San Jose. Yeah. Up north, there's nothing happening up there. You can speculate. I mean, it's weird. You know, we don't normally get January's not fire season, and I'm not throwing conspiracy theories out there willy nilly, but the fact that you get this fire starting in January with knowledge that this once in a 2 or 3 decade windstorm is coming through at the same time. And it's like, all somebody would have to do is say, I'll just light this and let it go. And the wind will take care of it for me. So don't know, man, but it's as bad as I've lived out here since 92. This is the worst I've ever seen. And I've seen some bad, bad stuff.
Well, from everybody here at DWI and everybody, I can speak for everybody from the entire chair shot, everybody that's involved, our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody. Stay safe, get somewhere safe. Don't be a hero if you don't have to be. Possessions can be replaced. People can't. I was telling
Patrick, you know, we were talking, they were evacuating people down to Disneyland, down to the Anaheim area, and filling up all the hotels. And that's 20 miles away. So it's a mess, man.
Yeah, hopefully they can get some kind of control over what's going on there, no further damage or more lives lost or anything like that. So we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, indeed, we are going to talk about Raw on Netflix. AJ is back, so we do have trivia and a last call of WrestleMania season style. So we'll be right back after this brief commercial right here. DWI Podcast 458, ChairShot Radio Network, part of the ChairShot.com. Don't forget to use your head and head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. See you shortly.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, DWI 458. Dave, maybe we should send DPP and his jorts and his midriff cutoff shirt and that buckets of water he was going to use to wash those people's car, and maybe he can put the fires out, you know, looking all sexy.
I'll support the chair shot with the bandwagon nerds shirt, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of DP and jorts is really tempting. You know, I'm not
and
sure.
And then the cutoff, too?
Yeah.
They're Daisy Dukes,
actually. You thought the fires were hot. Woo!
Bare midriff. DP, we missed you on Bandwagon Nerds this week, though, because we're talking Half-Life 3 after, you know, 17 years, that it might actually be happening.
Oh, my God, it was actually confirmed?
Not confirmed, but...
Heavily rumored now, so... Okay.
Bring back Gordon Freeman.
We'll see how
that works. we need more Gordon in our lives.
Oh. One of the best games I played the last 5 years was Half-Life Alyx. On VR. Yeah,
well, and I mentioned you specifically when we talked about it. I said, I wish DP was here because he talked about Half-Life Alyx, which is one of the VR games that actually is the first kind of anything Half-Life related in a very long time. So we'll see. You can never have too much Half-Life, Gordon Freeman, or Cowbell, apparently.
Okay. All right. I was just making sure. I thought the conversation was over, but then I heard cowbell. I was like, yeah, it's over. I'm kidding. Maybe we'll have to have, when we do the Rumble preview, we'll have Dave back on and we'll do a Winner Is You segment on there and have a little video game segment on DW. Maybe we'll have a dual cast or something. Maybe we'll do something like that. Add another notch to Attitude of Aggression. Get Kenny in here. We'll get the TriCast back for the Rumble. We'll see. All right. Wheels are turning. The mouse woke up. He's spinning the wheel in my brain. But let's get back to what we're doing today. Raw on Netflix, guys. Oh my goodness. I'm thinking about it now, and I'm not like just playing a character right now. I'm being my literal self, and I'm like, not quite goosebumps, but I feel very happy remembering myself watching this show. It was so much fun. Dave, the Intuit Dome has got to be the best arena, one of the top five arenas in the world. It was just beautiful. And the lights on the seats were fucking cool. I mean, you've been there, right?
They're changing the match. That was awesome.
I have not been in there yet. When WrestleMania 39 was going on, they were building it, and we weren't really sure what the hell was going on across the street. But yeah, I've seen it up close when we were down there for Green Day. I told you, like, that night we were at Green Day, somebody in their infinite wisdom says, hey, let's book Green Day at SoFi, and Slipknot and Intuit Dome, and it's literally across the street. So yeah, it looks like a state-of-the-art. I mean, I'm glad the Clippers got that and got the hell away from crypto and the Lakers and all that stuff. Give them their own. The Chargers need the same damn thing. But yeah, it's state of the art. It really looks like a structure unlike any that we've seen before. And it really, you know, watching Raw on Netflix really started getting me thinking they need to do something at the Sphere for Mania weekend.
Something. Maybe NXT has their show there.
That'd be badass.
AJ, the production value of this was amazing. It was almost like a WrestleMania, except half hour in, we got a commercial. And then literally 10 minutes later, we got the second commercial. And I went, hey, guys, guess what? They just told you, right, straight up slapped you right in the face. There's going to be commercials just like there always fucking have been. But AJ, it looked amazing. I had so much fun watching it. It felt like a major pay-per-view.
It did. Like, the camera quality was beautiful, like it was a pay-per-view. Hell, even the, like, because they did the fly-by drone in the stadium, given like a full view. Like, even the drone camera looked amazing for it. It, like you said, it gave that basically was like Mania without being Mania. Like, that was like, we're gonna pump everything out here. We're gonna make everything look as grand as it can be. Hopefully they keep that entrance set up too. I do like that, where I don't know if it's just because that's how the Intuit stadium is, but like having like a little bit higher seats, but you're not, I'm going back to, well, which WrestleMania was it, 32, where it had the giant Dallas Cowboys star and it was intruding on the upper deck, so you couldn't see like entrances and everything. But the way that Intuit did it, it was perfect. Like, you can look down. It's like, yeah, there's Rhea Ripley. You see other people coming through, and it's clear as day. Like, that, how they did that, hopefully they have that stage set up going forward. That's just my wish. I don't know if it's just because of the venue that they were at, but everything looked amazing, from the camera quality to how everything was done. I have one qualm about that entire show, but we'll get to that when we get to it.
All right, before we get into the show, DP, do you want to comment about the production and everything first? I want to go around the horn first before I do something we haven't done in a while.
Just the one thing I want to add to that is, yeah, I guess since they figured it out, since Tyson and Paul, they figured out how to actually do a live show, so good on them, because it was pretty flawless.
Dave?
Yeah, they, I mean, like DP's saying, they worked out the kinks. I think, to their credit, they did the NFL stuff in between Logan, Tyson versus Paul in this. And I think any kind of, I mean, I think they probably ran the NFL stuff as like a test. Okay, let's see if we did this any better. And I know watching the Christmas games on Netflix, that was seamless. That was flawless. And I heard some people had issues with buffering. I didn't experience any of it. Honey, you had some buffering issues?
No, I was just my wrists. I was just waving my. I sent DP a text.
trying to get him look. Trying to be so subtle, and it's like, no, I texted DP about something. Never mind.
I was trying to play it off, but I texted him. Okay, we're gonna get into the actual show, but before we do that, we're gonna do something we haven't done in a very long time because I think I have enough ammo to do a real quick. I'll be watching you.
I'll be watching every word you say and every move you make, every step you take. I'll be watching.
I just want to start by saying I was very disappointed by right before Raw, there was no black screen with white letters saying executive producer Dick Wolf.
What?
And now I begin.
What?
That stupid belt.
What?
If you aren't last, then you go first.
What?
This is so electric.
What?
I love you, Solo.
What?
Fuck you, Solo.
What?
First commercial.
What?
And second commercial.
What?
Word life, bitches. That's what I'm excited for.
What?
Them new Air Romans are fire.
What?
All right, I guess they Kobe's. My bad. Either way, I love them.
What?
New ref shirts.
What?
Hell of a match. Hashtag OTC.
What?
John fucking Cena.
What?
I love you, John Cena.
What?
Those socks.
What?
Cena socks. Cena socks. Cena socks. John Cena has officially entered the Royal Rumble.
What?
Just pure joy tonight.
What?
Finally got the Goodyear blimp.
What?
X-Pac!
What?
That was horrible. I'm glad there are commercials. Gives you a different feel from a PLE. That is very much necessary.
What?
Rhea and Taker. Red heart, black heart.
What?
I just thought to myself, self, don't delete this from the DVR.
What?
Yeet.
What?
Cole, how the hell do I get down now?
What?
Pat, be an athlete.
What?
Where charisma goes to die, Gunther.
What?
And then I stopped tweeting the rest of the night. So there you go. That's another edition of I'll Be Watching You.
I'll be watching you. Every word you say.
Every move you make. I always end this segment. We haven't done it in a long time. The first time I did this, I had Greg listen to the segment to see how he liked it or not. And he goes, when it first started, I didn't know what the hell you were doing. But by the end, I wanted more.
I was about to say, it's been a while. So I'm like, what are you talking? Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's been like all right, so that was me tweeting during Raw, watching you. But gentlemen, let's get into it. How'd you guys like the open? Rock and Roman? You know, Rock coming out after the match and putting the Ulafala. Great match. Dave?
Yeah, I think I mentioned like one of the chats that the opening match felt like it was the main event of WrestleMania 40 Redux. I mean, really, it's tribal combat. Everybody and their mother's coming out during this match. And it took all that for Roman to actually beat Solo. But yeah, I thought the opening, I want to make a generalization about Raw on Netflix, because one of the complaints I've heard from morons out there who probably have AEW tattooed on both their butt cheeks is that only four matches. Oh, this is the same old shit. Only four matches. You know, it's like The Rock imitating the people on, I don't know if you saw NXT the other night, where it's like a year ago, Rock saying, don't be mean to Cody. Don't be mean to, he's got to finish his story. And now they're like, you can't be nice to Cody. Don't drink tequila with Cody. And So it's like, for me, it's like these AEW fans coming out. Only four matches? When it's the same old shit? There's all this talk. Look, we had four great matches that were, all of them were given enough time to tell a tremendous story. I would rather have two matches that told great stories than 10 matches filled with all this bullshit action and no story around it. So that, as a caveat, I would say I love the first match. It was a good blow off to that situation. This is by no means me saying the Bloodline story is now over, because we know that's not the case. But to get the Ulafala back on Roman, and now where does Roman go from here? You know,
Dave, I think you meant to use what I sent in the Big Five chat of the this is the wrestling fan versus the casual fan watching Raw.
Yes.
Why is
The Rock out of character? Oh, wow, The Rock. This is fun. This is a lot of fun. What, we're 2 hours in, there's only been two matches? Oh, my God, Topanga and Macaulay Culkin. This is so much fun. Whatever happened to storyline progression? Hey, did you see Kay Adams' Twitter? This is cool. She's having fun. It's fun. Oh, so all the baby faces are going to win tonight and none of the heels?
Shut up, Richard.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're more educated than that and are can appreciate what's going on without being, obviously we're not casual fans. But yeah, the opener was great. The Rock's promo was tremendous. His interaction with Cody was interesting, to say the least, considering where we're probably headed in the next couple of months. But yeah, I love the first match. It was Roman's first one-on-one match since WrestleMania 40, right? I mean, if I remember correctly. So he finally got, you know, back in the win column. And it's just really curious. Yeah, okay, we know Paul owes Punk a favor. What does that mean going forward? Yeah, I love the opening match. Fucking excellent.
I want a print of that canvas they made in the open with the history of WWE on it. You guys remember seeing that? Mm-hmm. That was so unbelievable. I want that. I want a gigantic one that I can put on some wall somewhere. That would be amazing. AJ,
I think I'll just send you some real American beer instead.
We're going to get to that. AJ, how'd you like the whole open? And obviously, Dave, you know, some people didn't understand that, like, the open with The Rock and him out of character and talking to Cody was welcoming people into WWE from Dwayne Johnson and corporate
Rock. Yeah, exactly. As a member of the board, he's acknowledging the job that Cody has done over the past since he won the title, and he has carried the company on his back. Why wouldn't he come out here? I'm just going to be the final boss and talk all this shit. You know, it's just not, it's not the time or place for that.
He wasn't the final boss. He was the boss. He was the executive.
Or a boss.
The final boss when he put the Ulafala back on Roman. He was then. AJ, how'd you like to open in the match?
I love the open with Triple H doing the narrative of what WWE is over the, what now, 80, 85 years of WWE, if not more, to my knowledge. But him doing all that was amazing. Yes, I do want that as a print. I don't care if WWE Shop has it for like $150. I will, if they do it, I'm dropping it. I don't care. But for that match, it was perfect. Like, we knew that we were going to have bullshit of the Bloodline. We knew that, you know, Jacob was gonna come. I thought Tama Tonga and Tonga Lo were gonna come, not just Tama Tonga.
Isn't he hurt?
Is he hurt? Okay.
Yeah, he's also hurt. And you know what? Damn. He might never come back.
Who's that?
Oh no. The misery. Oh God. Anyway. But Tama and Jacob interfering, okay, that makes sense. Jimmy and Sammy coming out saving him makes sense. I'm happy that they stopped it at KO and Cody doing their run-ins, because I even looked over and I'm like, this has already been a good match. We've had the interferences that make sense. Please, for the love of God, don't randomly have Drew because he has his match. And they didn't, thankfully. I love the banter between Solo and Roman during the match. Like, Solo doing the corner punches. It's like, I loved you, but you didn't love me. And I can see that now. That's why you'll never be Tribal Chief again. And get powerbombed through the table.
Get up, you punk bitch.
Yeah. It was a great match, and the fact that they actually acknowledged that the elders actually made Dwayne Johnson high chief now of all of the Samoan tribe for them, and he's the one putting the Ula Fala on, it was perfect.
We have breaking news. The NFL has officially moved Monday's Vikings-Rams wild card game from SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles to Arizona, where the Cardinals.
I kind of figured. Actually going to be a question I had. It's like, huh, with all the fires, that makes sense.
Nah, there were going to be more Vikings fans in that stadium than Rams fans anyway. So maybe the Rams have a better shot in Arizona.
I mean, if the GM pays another $2 million for their season ticket holders like they did in Detroit.
Yeah, it's a dome stadium either way. The Rams have no home field advantage really at SoFi. They're always outnumbered by the visiting fans because, you know, Los Angeles, they don't care.
But the main thing with this is if you actually want your NFL news and talk, go listen to the Oblong Ball Foot Show with Honey, Ray.
Back to wrestling.
Honey. Yeah. Ray and my big brother Andrew. I had to do the TNA reference. I had to.
Are you saying that Andrew? Well, yeah, we know he watches football. Hey, yeah. Later on, AJ, are we gonna like give each other shit about our game this Sunday, or if Tunney and DP allow it?
Dave, I completely fucking forgot that since the Rams lost, that the Bucks became the 3 seed.
This is my fault. This is my fault right now. This is all my fault.
Yeah. It's your breaking news.
I have no love for the Rams. They didn't do us any favors.
And said back to wrestling, we may go back to wrestling, but that's fine. We don't have to. We can talk about the Washington Commanders. Whew, caught myself taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Wow. You can call them the Redskins if you want. No one cares.
Yeah, no. They want to be called the Redskins again.
They probably need to be called the Redskins again.
Here, you want a sports take? I think it's shitty that the people who are in charge of the professional teams I'm about to talk about and the people who own the trademarks to the names I'm about to talk about couldn't fucking work something out. It should be the Washington Redtails. We'd be done with this already. And it should have been the Cleveland Spiders. The Guardians are so fucking dumb.
Oh yeah, the Guardians are an awful name. Don't get me wrong, they should have changed that logo, but the Guardians is fucking awful.
They could have been the Cleveland Joe Boos. I mean, there you go.
Fuck you, Joe Boo. I do it myself.
No, that's right.
Some rum at the stadium.
Right. Hey, Joe Boo. Bartender needs a refill.
Are you ready to continue your take, AJ, sir?
I kind of finished it. Are we talking about the match or the NFL thing?
No, we're going back to wrestling. We're done with
that. Okay, we're going back to wrestling. It was a great match. Yeah. They didn't need to add any more run-ins because we already have a match later on that we'll talk about, clearly. But it was perfect. You had Kevin Owens doing his version of his story where can we really call him the bad guy in this story? It's kind of like the whole thing where it's like, you start listening to the villain in a movie and it's like, he's making sense. He has a point. Cody like helped everyone stop Roman. And then as soon as Roman comes back, what does he do? Cody is the first person to help him. Like, no, Kevin Owens has a point here to hate him.
It's him and Drew McIntyre could form a tag team based on that. So, you know,
I've heard, I saw in the dirtiest and filthiest of sheets that, God, why hasn't that not been washed in God knows how many decades? A form of the NWO kind of forming against Cody instead with Drew and
we're not, that's KO. No, let, No, I know I'm the one that puts that
I'm not believing it, but that's what I'm saying. The filthiest sheets said NWO, and I'm like, I don't hate that.
Oh, how would you bring back the NWO, though? You'd have to have someone from the NWO bring it back, and then have to have, like, a vendetta against Triple H or something like that. Like, it'd have to involve Kevin Nash somehow.
Hold on, dude.
Well, let me tell you something, brother.
You're gonna okay.
You're gonna boo him out of the building already.
I was about to say, brother. And call him out.
If you were already threatening retirement after the 500th episode, you'd be damn near getting kicked off the show for a take like that.
It's almost two more episodes, and we can route it to 460, and we'll call it a day.
Yeah, motherfucker. No, Dan, you're right. All the time. Way to go. Love your takes.
Yay. God. I knew I liked you.
So let's talk about it then. We don't have to stay on track here. We got the whole crew here. We're having fun. The NWO came up. What do you think, Dave? Is there a plausible way to have Drew and KO and Seth have a NWO reclamation group? Because it would only probably last until the following Mania in like a triple threat between those guys, which would be kind of cool if you ran the story that way. But I don't know. What would your idea of it be? Then we'll go to Dan and back to AJ.
The concept of those three guys getting together to create a NWO-ish faction is intriguing because you've got probably three of the most talented guys that there possibly is in WWE. KO and Drew for sure makes sense. And of course, once you talk about Seth and Punk, him going in that direction also makes sense. I do like the idea about, Hulk Hogan being kind of like you can't really call Hulk a wise man, that's for sure. But in that kind of role.
Do you call him the wise man?
The lie man. Yeah.
He could be like, I just don't think this is going to happen, but I guess we're here. Why not, instead of manager, be like, I'm their agent. That's very Hollywood, right?
As long as we don't have 64 members, I'm fine with that idea.
Nah, they wouldn't do. I don't think they would be dumb enough. I mean, maybe you add if you added like a fourth guy, who would you bring in there?
I think you'd add a girl. I don't think you'd add a guy with the three of them. And you could bring Becky in.
Becky would be perfect.
Right. So here's the difference. This isn't happening though, but it's fun to talk about. So, but I can tell you this. I firmly believe and mentioned this when we were on, I can't remember, the Swaggies or 300, but I think it was the Swaggies. Drew and KO both said the same exact thing to the people that, like, they were responsible for getting attacked on SmackDown last week.
I can confirm it was the Swaggies because I remember you saying this. If it was 300, I would not have remembered.
So, I mean, there's that. I'll give it that much, percent chance. But what do you think, Dan?
I mean, I think they could certainly form
preface your answer. What do you think, faction man?
Oh, my favorite. Well, let's get the Jackal and Don Callis back, and they could be the Truth Commission.
God, I'm going to call Dan. You're now going to be Secret Faction Man. There you go.
I got to find the Secret Agent Man music.
That's right. Got to get it.
I mean, I could definitely see them forming a bond together for a little while or something to take, these guys on or something like that. But I don't see it any type of NWO relation there. I just, there's no sense in doing that. And why bring it back? I mean, that's, to me, that makes no sense. So
sell all them shirts again. I mean, you could sell a shit ton of shirts.
It's true.
I don't know.
It's true.
I mean, I don't hate the idea of, well, KO has the problems with Cody because Cody was helping the bloodline. Drew has a problem with everyone in the bloodline. And Seth can just be like, well, I have problems here. And it's like, no, Punk helped them out too. So let's all like form this trio here. I'm not necessarily saying the NWO, but that seems very NWO-like. I do appreciate Dan with the whole thing of the Jackal, because I'm pretty sure everyone forgot that Don Callis was the Jackal.
I'm ruined trivia.
Good. I wish you fucking would have if that was the case. I don't know what that means. Let's skip ahead to the end, and we're going to work our way back to the second match. All right? Because we're already talking about Rollins. So Punk and Rollins, that was a fucking really good match. I mean, those two guys knew exactly what they wanted to do, and they went out and did it, and they, whether or not you believe they have actual problems in the back, they have no problems working extremely well and making money in the ring, Dave. That was a great match. I think it was the right thing for Punk to win.
Yeah, I mean, it adds something to this. And I think, like, I was listening to Seth's interview with your favorite guy, Chris Van Vliet, who, you know, that was a really good interview, though, because I retweeted it or posted it on Attitude of Aggression's X thing. But, you know, Seth spent a good 3 to 4 minutes explaining exactly the issues he had with Punk. And when you listen to him talk about that, you sit there, I came away thinking, this is real. You know, he really has some definite issues with CM Punk now. Are the issues that can't be reconciled or worked through? I don't know. But I think you're right, Tony. These guys, being the pros that they are, work together, put those issues aside, protected each other in that match where either one of them could have said, fuck you. They kept each other safe. They put on a hell of a match. Yes, we all know it ended the exact same way that Jon Moxley and CM Punk ended in AEW. We're aware of this. There's probably a reason for that. I don't know. I've seen that too, Dan. There's one Shield member left. It was a great match, a great story. I think the difference between the Moxley match and this match is clearly Seth's emotional involvement in the match how his emotions got the best of him, were his undoing. He couldn't put Punk away when he had several chances. You know, Seth Rollins, like near the end, right? Seth, the consummate pro, loses track of where he is in the ring. Seth Rollins doesn't do that. He doesn't hit somebody with a move too close to the ropes so that Punk can get his foot on the ropes. But the story that they're telling is Seth is too emotionally involved in this thing, and it bit him in the ass in the end. So, yeah, I like Punk's interview in the post-conference thing. I'll be the first to say, you know, all the hate that I had for CM Punk really has gone away over the past year. And when he comes out of the ring and he shouts out Chris Bay, that was fucking really classy on him. But his interview in the post-conference, you know, have I seen the end of Seth? I'd like to say I have, but I'm not dumb enough to think that that's true. So, yeah, you got to figure they're going to do a series of matches. It's going to be very much like Drew and Punk was, right? Punk got the first one here. I'm sure Seth is going to get the win back, and then we'll have the blow-off at WrestleMania.
That's...
The title's got to get involved somehow here. I think this year Punk is wrestling for the title or with the title at WrestleMania, in my opinion.
Could be a triple threat. Yeah. I mean, you know, are you going to, if you get Gunther, Seth, and Punk, are you going to complain? No. Oh,
God, I am.
Well, you complain about everything. So,
well, like to trade Gunther to AEW for nothing.
Are you, come on, give me a fucking break.
No.
Gunther, why? Why? Because you think he's a charisma vacuum. But he's got more talent. Anyway, go ahead, Tony. The guy, you can, yeah, okay. God damn it. Dan, help me out, brother.
I think, like you said, they're telling the perfect story, and then Punk was the right one to go over because they can continue that with Seth's emotions got the best of him. He can come back either humbled or more angry about it, however they want to go with it, and come back with that match, and, you know, he gets the next win whenever they, you know, if it's Saturday night's main event, if they go right back to it, or if they wait a little bit, you know, come right back with the win and have the rubber match somewhere down the road. I really hope it's WrestleMania, but I do want that for the title. So however they get there, but yeah, it was a just ridiculously phenomenal match. And like you said, you know, they, as much as they potentially don't like each other. They know how to make money, and that they went out there, they put on a hell of a show, and I'm here to watch it again and again.
AJ, did you see the YouTube footage someone put up of Punk celebrating with Kieran Culkin after the match?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I won. I got a Golden Globe. This is how I celebrate. Yeah, I won too. Congrats. Yeah, I did.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw. I saw that happen.
Yeah, but
Punk really set that up right there. He
definitely did
to get it back. Right.
Punk, it was cool. Yeah, Punk and Donuts is a lot of fun. You know, I mean, because that's kind of become a trope to itself because of what happened in AEW. And here he's got Randy's Donuts and, you know, and all that stuff. And he brings, and I like what he says at the end of the press conference. No, we're not leaving here with this sausage fest of a question, you know. And so I got to get a female in here to ask me something. Like, only Punk would come up with shit like that. So,
AJ, finish off.
I mean, it was a damn good match. Like you said, Dave. Rollins' emotions got the better of him. Like, he was hitting the stomp as much as he could. He hit the go to sleep. I know he guaranteed hit it once. I think he hit it twice. I could be wrong, yeah, though.
I think it was twice.
But, like, he just couldn't get the job done, so he was just getting angrier and angrier. I also love the fact, and this is the Belaz kicking in me, we kind of had the Japanese type ref where it was like, no, let it, like, even Rollins came up to the ref and said, no, let it play out. This is what we're doing here. And they were fighting in the crowd. They were out. They were on the outside of the ring for like a minute and a half without a count going on. And then they get back into the ring, stomps, GTA. It was perfect. I loved it. It was more referee's discretion.
They would have been counted out even in NJPW, right, AJ?
They would have.
This is, you know, these,
unless
you know what,
it was red shoes as, you know, the ref. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm grabbing?
Do we, your strings? Is your titties? Your something?
Are you Conan?
Strap. KO
the NAN. My suspenders, because I'm suspending my disbelief.
Oh. I thought DP was going to say that's what he's calling it now. DP Conan. Is that it?
Oh Jesus, no! Come on. All right, Dave. You know what? It's kind of fun.
I thought that was a damn good match, and Rollins just getting, the only thing that I didn't like was how goofy it was getting the one GTS, bouncing off the rope, doing a pirouette, and falling back into the fireman carry. That's the only thing where I'm like, come on, we know wrestling is choreographed, but that made it the F word.
Listen, AJ, there was a guy on the show that night who flopped around like a goddamn electrocuted fish when he got stunned by Stone Cold Steve Austin. So this is mild compared. This is like mild hot sauce Taco Bell compared to like the Diablo Verde that you can get or something like that, whatever the fuck it's called. So yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed it. I liked it. Okay. Jey Uso, Drew McIntyre in a vacuum, awesome match, but just in the wrong place on the wrong night, in my opinion. Like, the crowd lost all energy they had left for this match after Jey's entrance, and they were kind of quiet for a really good match, but I get it. It was still good. It still did something for me. What'd you think, AJ? Did you kind of have the same feeling there?
It sucked everything at, like, during the match. I'm like, all right, this is a good match, but if we're going to try to draw eyes on this and have it as the spectacle that it was with the other two matches that we had, I know we haven't talked about the last one yet, but the other two matches that we had that were great, we have this one. In all honesty, the highlight of the match is Michael Cole standing on the announce desk, not knowing how to go in temple with the
E. My God, how white is Michael Cole? That was the funniest goddamn thing I've ever watched.
Coming from probably the whitest guy on the show.
He couldn't even keep rhythm. And he looked like he was just flopping his head.
Listen, you'll never know whether or not what I'm saying is true, but he did that on purpose.
He's brilliant.
Blurred line.
That's my God. That was the funniest fucking thing.
He held it down from the fucking table, Dave. And Max said, be an athlete.
How do I get down? Be an athlete, Cole. Be an athlete.
Let me get you a stepladder, Cole. Sorry. Oh my God.
But,
it was fun. It was fun.
That was the highlight of the match.
Ring the bell. Ring the bell multiple times. Yeah.
Out of rhythm, too. I'll ring the bell.
Was dog show appropriate at the end there? I thought it was ding, 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 ding. Dog show. Yeah.
But it's a good match. It was a good match. It made sense for like the story that they had to go through, but for what they were doing and making this like the grand spectacle of Monday Night Raw for Netflix, it was hard. Like at some point I just went, they really should have made the Women's Intercontinental Championship Finals this match instead.
It's possible. Dave's shaking his head.
Yeah, I think it was a really good win for Jay to get that win over Drew. It's really important for him to kind of keep him in the forefront of things. But yeah, on a card like this, of this magnitude, no title on the line, nothing really happening, no real stakes to be seen other than, you know, the possibility of Michael Cole falling off the announce table and breaking his ass. You know, that was on the line. But
His
ass was on the line.
His ass was on the line. That's right.
And I know it's your week, Dan. You can do whatever you want, but DWI 458, Michael Cole's coccyx. Sounds like
Michael coccyx.
Either that or Secret coccyx. Faction Man, Dan. That could be your the other.
Michael Cole's coccyx. I like it. COCCIX, I think.
Michael Cole's coccyx?
Six. Oh, I think it's COCCIX. I'm going to look it up.
It is.
Anytime that I hear the word coccyx in professional wrestling.
Platt thinks that spelling is useless. If you're a good speller, it means nothing. Well, he can go fuck himself. F-U-C-K-H-I-M-S-E-L-F himself.
It's multisyllabic.
Vanderjack?
That's for sure.
Vanderjack. That's spelled S-U-C-K-M-Y-A-S-S.
That's right. I forgot.
Kiki?
Go ahead. Spell Mixoplick, Dan. Go for it.
Mixoplick?
Yeah.
Mixoplick?
Mr. Mixoplick. Fucking...
Mixoplick? Mixoplick? Mixoplick.
Okay.
Nice all right. Try. Well, we all changed bodies, so on. We have to. Say, you got to get him to say his name backwards.
It's Kaiser Sose.
Whose turn is it? Go.
I don't know.
What are we talking
about? Dave was talking about it. The match, Jey Uso and Drew McIntyre and how it didn't fit.
I think we're done.
I think it wouldn't have mattered. It wouldn't have mattered what match. Like, I wouldn't even put the women's IC title finals in there because it would have got lost in the shuffle, too. I think that, you know, that would lessen the moment of that. It didn't matter what match you put in there. It would have been, unfortunately, it was just a bad spot to be in.
So we're going to talk about two of the greatest all time showing up on Raw for the first time in a long time to two completely different reactions right after we talk about the last match that I want to talk about, which was the second match of the night. And the match was good and I had a lot of fun with it. And I wasn't sure whether or not the title was going to change hands, but it did. But I think the most important thing that happened is the Undertaker endorsing Rhea at afterwards, because the next Undertaker isn't a man. It's Rhea Ripley. Period. Dan?
She definitely has that aura about her, and that's kind of the way they portray her. Yeah. And, you know, I think that was really cool. That was a great way to get the Undertaker on the show in a surprise. And a perfect way to just give her the nod, you know, to say, yeah, you're you're the man kind of thing. Like, this year, it's your show now kind of thing. Like, it was beautiful. It was really well done. Yeah, the match itself was fine. And I definitely assumed the title change was going to happen because I think they were done. I think there was nowhere else to go with the storyline at this point. And they need to move on with that. And Rhea Ripley is the one to carry this title, especially under WrestleMania. So,
oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. Ring the bell. You her... ring your bell. You can ring your bell.
But just to elevate her one step even more than what she has taken that character to having Taker come out and do that was pretty badass.
Ah, I see what you did there. Dave, yeah. You were really to jump in.
No, I think like I was like you, Tony. I wasn't really sure Rhea was winning the title back. Looking at it in retrospect, you know, this and kind of New Year's Evil as well. It was clear that they wanted to get on the road to WrestleMania / Stand and Deliver. And that's what these 2 days were about, getting the belts on the people that they want. And actually, you know, you go to last week with Tiffy cashing in and becoming the WWE Women's Champion. They are now firmly on the road to WrestleMania. They've got the titles on the people that they want to have the titles on moving forward, so they can set up Royal Rumble. They can set up Elimination Chamber. So, you know, like I was with you, Tony, I wasn't sure they were going to make the switch. Looking at it now, it's like, okay, that makes sense. I agree with you guys. The match was fine. You know, it wasn't a world beater or anything like that, but it did what it had to do. Rhea gets, you know, the last laugh on Liv. The best part, yeah, Taker coming out was good. Rhea kicking Dom in the nuts. That was beautiful. I love that.
She kicked him in the nuggies.
Kicked him in the nuggies.
Yeah.
One thing.
She turned his tenders into nuggies. There you go.
The one thing that I love.
Dave.
Yes. Ring the bell.
Kicking me in my fellas?
Kicking me in my fellas? Dirty pool, mister. Dirty pool.
The one thing that I loved about that, if anyone listened to Michael and Pat talking on commentary, it was, well, Liv Morgan's not going to have fun tonight. And Pat's like, well, yeah, she lost the title. And it's like, no, Pat, because he just, never mind. Like that made my entire thing about all of that. Like it was a good match. Rhea solidifying it with the second riptide to make sure she wins the title. That banter between Michael Cole and Pat McAfee was amazing about how nothing's going to go right for Liv that night because now she can't even get lucky. That made me laugh out loud. And there was, you know, someone being cheeky, taking a picture, and it's like, oh, Taker's going to be here. I mean, they don't need legends, but you know for a fact they were going to throw them, and there's only one person, quote-unquote, that's bigger than Undertaker at the moment, and Taker coming out, American Badass, driving around. I'm more upset that Rhea didn't get on the back of the motorcycle. I don't know why that miffed me, because I thought she would, like, can I? And he'll just, like, shrug and say, get on back, and then they just drive out into Gorilla.
Because it would make her look weak, and that was not what they're trying to do. They're trying to make her look strong.
Yeah. She in the camera herself. No, she in the camera herself with the belt hears the music and goes, oh my God, Undertaker's here. Hold on, I got to shine my belt to make it look good for him. Like, and she was literally fangirling in the camera.
Part of that writes out, I need to get the back of on the back of his bike.
I think AJ's got a point. Yeah, it would have been cool if she just got on there, wrapped the legs around Undertaker. Maybe
well,
Michelle
okay,
was
well,
like,
no, oh, no, whoa, whoa,
show McCool
whoa,
in the audience.
Right.
I wouldn't have went that far. What is your browser history?
Let me get some put some post on those spokes and have her stand in the back.
my browser history is all about now, are we? It's all about American Dadass.
Okay, that was fun. I can't pull any harder on these suspenders, by the way. That's the problem. All right, let's get into it. Hulk Hogan came back and got booed the fuck out the building. It was cringe. It was quick. It was over. He was gone. How did they misread this? And now I knew he was going to get booed before he came out. I don't get it. I want to go to Dave because Dave lives in California. Dave is, like you said, 100 miles north of L.A. And on Chairshot Radio Network, if you can kind of tell which way we all lean in our political views and things of that nature, but we're all friends. We really don't talk politics, but I'm not asking any of us to talk. you know what I mean? For the most part. Well,
I don't know about that, dude.
Okay. see what it did. Without trying to reveal our political stances, and they might just shine through anyway. And that doesn't mean we disrespect one side or the other, but this is really stupid, Dave. Was it not? This should have waited for like Texas or Oklahoma or whatever, central part of the country.
Yeah, I mean, you are talking about the bluest state in the nation, but I originally thought that, and then somebody pointed it out to me, and it makes sense that it's not just a Trump thing, because Undertaker openly supported Trump. You know, him, they had him, they had Kane out there. He got cheered. Because it dawned on me that this is not a Trump thing. This is a fact that Hulk Hogan is a piece of shit thing. And people figured that out. It's like, this is a racist asshole who never really apologized for anything, who he's just, and you know, for him to come out for a fucking beer commercial pissed those people off. And I think that, if this was up north, like San Francisco, I'd say, okay, that's definitely a Trump reaction. But Undertaker might have got booed up there, because that's as blue as it gets. LA doesn't give a shit. But I thought, you know, at first this is a reaction to Trump. Then somebody pointed out the Undertaker thing, and I stopped and I thought, and I was like, you know, that's a really good point. Taker's never said a racist thing. He's very much anti-racist. That had to be racially motivated. And the fact that he was going out to put himself over like Hulk Hogan has done since 1984.
So I know I prefaced this with the whole political thing, but I just want to make clear, though. While I do think he wouldn't get booed because politics are different, and let's just use Texas, okay? I am fully aware that he didn't get booed for his politics. He got booed because of his racism, right?
I mean, yeah, I think if he's in Texas, the reaction is going to be better, but it's not going to be strong. I don't, it'll be tepid at best.
We're not talking about it.
Right. It would be like, you know, it'd be like his reaction's been ever since all this bullshit happened. I mean, it's kind of middle of the road. They keep trying to put him out there and get that WrestleMania 18 reaction, and it's not going to happen.
Well, here's the problem. The problem is his cluelessness and his inability to feel remorse and understand that he was wrong and needs to change. That's the problem. And he's not going to. He's so old now and has so much money and has been so successful, and he doesn't have to. And his mind doesn't work that way, right? In his mind, he's not that guy, and he got caught, and he's only sorry because he got caught, and that's the perception, right?
Yep.
And I don't know for sure, right? I don't know for sure. Dan, jump in. Yeah.
But for, you know, 40 years, he didn't have to worry about it, didn't have to think about it. And when you don't have, you know, the internet and social media, he got away with it, obviously, you know, and didn't have to worry about consequences because nobody knew. And now everybody knows. And everybody's catching up to it and realizing, like, yeah, he's kind of a shitbag. And I was so happy to see that the fans were like, yeah, let's acknowledge him for who he's been and who he is. And yeah, you guys are right. Like, he is clueless. He's not going to change because he's lived that way forever and doesn't know any better. And yeah, however old he is now, 70, 60 something, like, you know, that's going to be it. That's going to be him. And hopefully, I'm kind of surprised. Well, I'm sure because, you know, they gave him money to do it, you know, and put his beer logo on the mat. But, you know, why would you tout him out there? Like, you kind of had to have seen this coming. Like,
so obviously it's money. And then, like, a lot of, like, you know, and it's the problem is seeing stuff and believing it, right? And I think one of the cool things from this last political season is we're not just all ready, rip-roaring, ready to go to believe anything from either side of whatever media there is. And I think that I'll give Elon Musk that, like, X has really turned into like a wild west of information where you can just gather an opinion for yourself and kind of know how you want to feel about it. But they're making money. And someone brought up IPA, Steve Austin. I don't think Steve Austin wants to partner with WWE for his beer. Otherwise, they definitely would have done it.
They would have done it when it first came out. Yeah.
They would have bent over backwards to do whatever they can with Steve. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like Austin, there's something going on there because he wasn't involved in WrestleMania 40, not involved here. I know he's only going to come back when the money's right and it makes sense, but
I think he's a homebody guy, and he doesn't want to go anywhere. He lives in Nevada. He said he'll do 41. He said he's tired. You know, he don't need it. He's happy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's the greatest of all time.
I mean, he hasn't had a match since what, 2019, Tony? Is that what we're saying? Or no, 2009, 2002. Never mind.
Him and Kurt Angle, I think, the last match.
Yeah, there you go. Sorry, Tony, go ahead.
How about,
hold on.
I
got some.
Screw you! You're fired! You're fired!
Take that.
He probably would have gotten a better reaction than Hogan.
Oh, honest to God, if he ever shows up at a Raw or SmackDown, the fans go apeshit. Like, they lose their minds and cheer the shit out of this guy. I swear to God.
When that lawsuit goes away, however it goes away, he's going to be back, and it's going to be ridiculous.
Hitler mustache and all.
I mean, you have to keep it now. I've seen it. I cannot see it.
I dropped it. See that broadcast school is really...
He's going to show up with that poop emoji on his shirt. You know, it's going to be fucking epic.
This has been a fun show today.
They had to have known how bad it would have been to be like, and Hulk Hogan's here. No, you would have had better luck with Ric Flair promoting his weed than you would have of
in California,
Hulk Hogan promoting.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, absolutely the weed. But I'm just saying Ric Flair in general. Like, for crying out loud, you could have picked literal anybody else in professional wrestling that isn't dead or is completely freaking known to be a dickhead.
Let's be honest, Chris Benoit might have got a better reaction.
He probably would have gotten a better pop. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
That's why as soon as Tunney ended the clip, I'm like, he would have gotten a better reaction because we all knew Vince was an asshole.
That's the shit that Hogan said on Impulsive. He said, fans are forgiving. They gave Benoit for the crap he did. They definitely forgive me.
What the fuck are you talking about?
The problem is, Hogan doesn't know the fucking truth from a lie.
Well, that's pretty... Well, cocaine's a hell of a drug, let me tell you.
It sure is.
Even then...
Ooh, I got something for you in my fanny pack, yeah!
The reason why I had a song called The Perfect Friend, and then I also had a Fuck You, Hogan.
All right, we got to keep moving here. We got one more thing to talk about from Raw and Netflix. John Cena's back. I mentioned John Cena's socks, and Topps did something really cool, and they grabbed one of the socks and took the front logo part that you could see where in the front of his leg where the foot goes up into the leg, and they took that part and they put it in a card that's a one-of-one that's going to get distributed, and somebody's going to end up with a one-of-one John Cena last time ever kind of thing.
They also did the Rock and Roman as a one-of-one as well.
Yes. Good call. Thank you for bringing that up. I want to start with you then, AJ. Excitement level for Cena's last year, and I hate that we're going to move through this kind of quick, but let's kind of a minute or so each. What do you want to see excitement level?
I mean, I'm entirely excited about it because not only did we have Cena come back for this show, you had him be the first person to announce the fact that he's going to be in the 2025 Royal Rumble. We all know that this is his retirement tour. We all know, I don't remember who he was with. I think he was with Shannon Sharp on his podcast saying, if I won a 17th title,
Yeah, go watch that. I've talked to people about that on YouTube. It's excellent. John Cena with Shannon Sharp is really good.
If I want a 17th title, I have to earn it. He even said it in his promo. I have to earn it. There's no way that I'm going to do this. That means I'd have to win, like, Money in the Bank again. I'd have to go out and do something at Mania, win a number one contenders match. Sure, we have the Royal Rumble later on. Like, he played that perfectly. The first entrant in the... Well, I'm not saying he's going to be number one, but the first person to announce he's in the Rumble, John Cena. And I'm pretty sure people will not be pissed off if he wins, if he ties Stone Cold for three times as a Royal Rumble winner. But I would love to see it. My excitement level's high. I want to see him be the quote-unquote top of... the amount of reigns that he has as the WWE champion or a world heavyweight champion.
I think, Dave, we've set the tone for what John Cena's story is in this year, and it's chasing the attempt to get a chance at winning that 17th title. So there's no way he's winning Royal Rumble. He'll be in Elimination Chamber. He's not winning that either. He will not wrestle for the WWE title probably until December.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that, brother.
This is a Ric Flair. This is like almost the Ric Flair last run thing. Only it's got a purpose. Like, the only reason John's... What do we all want to see him do, Dave?
I want to see him break the record. Absolutely, I want to see him break the record.
This whole year should be about that.
First thing John has to do is get a win. Because at least he even acknowledged the fact that it's been like 2,374 days since he won a match. So I thought that was really cool the way he acknowledged it and said, hey, you know, I need a victory first and then go from there. So, you know, how that comes about, he's got to break that losing streak first. This year's Royal Rumble is like when you start thinking about who's going to be in it. And I know we say this just about every year. It's like, is there a clear cut favorite? You know, you look at, say, Punk. If Roman enters that match, he's got to be the fucking favorite to win this thing. You know, you're going to throw Cena in there as well. Could Cena win it? He could. I tend to agree with you that it's not going to happen there. But yeah, I think from the standpoint of what do I want to see? Yeah, with Ric Flair on the outs with WWE sort of right now, I want to see Cena break that record. How he gets there and how a plausible way for him to break that record. Could he, you know, I don't think he's going in there against Gunther and beating him. Whatever you think of him at charisma level, he ain't beating Gunther. Cody, you know, there's a plausible place where he could actually beat Cody for that championship, but when and where they do that, I don't know.
I mean, excitement levels through the roof to watch Cena in his final run here. Cena's generally... I'll start with this. Like, Cena's generally like honest in what he's saying, right? He's going to go out balls to the wall for a year. He ends in December. Man, CM Punk said the same thing though, right? He said, I got to get a path to WrestleMania, whether it's win the Royal Rumble or win the Elimination Chamber. Cena's going to go through the same exact thing. I think Cena and Punk are almost on the same like path in a sense of wanting to win the title. And Cena mentioned a whole bunch of names. Obviously, I think we're going to see all those matches at some point. Punk versus Cena again is going to be fantastic, and I'm looking forward to that. And I think I don't know if he gets a couple cracks at it to try and win the 17th one. I'd be interested to see this play out this way, because I think it's going to be the same way almost. He's got to win the Rumble. I didn't win the Rumble. All right, Elimination Chamber. Can't win that. I'm getting in Money in the Bank. Can't win that. Like, I see him doing that because he called them all out. Like, he's got to win it one way or the other. I think he's got to be in all those matches because this is his farewell. Be in all those matches, which means he generally can't win them because then otherwise he gets a shot unless he goes, hey, I won it. I got a shot. I lost. I won it again. Got a shot. Lost. I don't think they're going to do that because they got to build it up. And
how
the excitement level.
I agree with you, Dan, but how does he get? I mean, sooner or later, he's going to get that shot, right?
Here's what I was thinking. Probably a long shot because Cena's generally, when Cena says, like, hey, I'm going to December and I'm done, What
I've
if he goes?
Smoke coming, by the
he
way,
he goes. Me, a lot of
you're thinking.
Yeah, I'm thinking here. We get to the end of the year. He finally gets his one shot, and it doesn't pan out. Whether it's Gunther or whatever, like he gets a shot at something, doesn't win it, and goes, you know what? I want one more crack at this. I'm going to do it at next WrestleMania. He goes to another road to WrestleMania and gets there somehow.
I mean, he is John Cena, so at the end of the day, sorry, Tony, I'm just saying.
No, John Cena's the band Kiss now, according to Dan. He's going to have seven.
The Rolling Stones, baby.
Here's the thing. He's John Cena. So at the end of the day, somebody says, look, this is your last month. We're going to give you a shot at the title. I mean, it could be Saturday night's main event or something just where Triple H just says, this is it. Your last shot. Could it be your last match is to break the record?
But he's got to earn it.
I could see them doing that.
He's got to earn the match.
He's going to earn it, but I could definitely see that his last match is to break that record. And, somebody did that recently, right? Where they won the title and then just vacated it because they retired. Who did that?
Recently? I don't know.
Somebody did that.
Recently, I mean, technically speaking, Sting.
Yeah.
Okay, let's bring it back to the real world. AJ, sorry, this is me. AJ, you get the last talk on all of this, and when you're done, we're going to go to a commercial break and do trivia.
I think it's some way, somehow, shape, or form, we're going to get Cena getting number 17. Whether it's he faces the World Heavyweight Champion or the WWE Champion, in all honesty, for me...
I just want to ask something.
Mm.
Would the NXT Championship count?
No.
No.
I'm not discrediting the NXT Championship, but I don't credit it for Shinsuke.
He ain't beating Obafemi, Tony.
That's true.
No, but what if, like that count if okay it doesn't we agree we all agree right. And I agree too, but what if it did and he put Obafemi over and like in an attack, you know, whatever. Anyway, continue.
If he puts him over, that's great. You have the legend rub.
Put
you have
that
the
back.
Legend rub of beating him. I'm not disagreeing with that, but
yeah, my favorite seasoning.
My fault again.
Legend rub.
Oh Jesus. AJ, please continue. Let's get away from legend rub.
Royal Rumble, I agree. Like as cool it would be if he won it for he tied three. As cool as it would have been for tying three, he might not win it. It's a strong chance. He's a favorite most likely, but he's not going to win it. Elimination Chamber, I do not think he's winning that whatsoever. Money in the Bank, I think he will come close, and it would just be pushed off the ladder and everything else. I think... And I like this idea where for like a late November or a December thing, hell, we can even do it for Tribute of the Troops if we want to bring that back randomly. That's when we have Cena coming out with the camo and everything, and it's just like I'm hoping we don't always have long title reigns, but in my mind, Cody is still the champion. He tells Cody, it's like, this is my last thing. I've been with these guys since the first one, and this is going to be my last one. You and me for the title. What do you say? And Cody, still being Cody, will agree to it, and that's how that happens. And then, hell, we can just make the Royal Rumble. Whoever wins it gets the championship like 92.
There we go. All right, folks, it had to have been something special if we spent over an hour on Monday Night Raw. I think my favorite thing was I was able to find the GIF and put it out before the show started. Was you're excited? Feel these nipples. We'll be right back with trivia. DWI Podcast 458, Chair Shot Radio Network, Bestie in the house.
Now a word from my God, our sponsor.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Ah, Tony, I know for a fact you missed opening that Miller Lite there for trivia. It's trivia. I know everyone else probably missed it. I'm not going to lie. I missed it, especially since we're on the road to the Royal Rumble, which means the road to WrestleMania. So we got some Rumble trivia, boys.
Oh, boy. PC Tony is odds-on favorite.
Odds-on favorite. He's probably just like... expertise. He's probably like polishing up like a ring or just his knuckles and just wiping on his. And it's like, I'm finally going to break my my trivia curse here.
Am I on a losing streak?
You are on a losing streak.
It's been so long.
I'm so fucking busy, man. I haven't realized.
It's bad I haven't been here for a month and I'm like, oh, yeah, Tunny's on a losing streak. Tunny also lost holiday hijinks.
I was the trivia master. How can I lose?
Because of the... Never mind.
He's never lost, AJ. He was just a little bit behind when time ran out.
Oh, okay. That works, too.
I'm missing something. Anyway, carry on.
But because I'm picking on you and it's a new year, Tony, I'll let you pick number one, number two, or number three.
Or number three.
Ooh.
Hold on, I gotta have a kayak around here somewhere so I can beat you with an oar.
Oh,
you meant for the questions.
I'd rather my oar is more expensive. Ooh.
All right, so this one is picking a number closest. I'm not gonna do prices right without going over. It's just the closest, and if you get it, obviously you get the point. How many Royal Rumbles have there been to the aptly named pay-per-view? So how many Royal Rumbles at the Royal Rumble pay-per-view have there been? I will also say I'm not including 2025.
Oh, jeez.
Because we have not gotten to that rumble yet. Dave says 43. Dan says 48. Tunny says 53. Dave is the closest. Short by one. It's actually 44. Because for 30 years, we had the men's, and then it went, here's the men's and the women's. So, started bouncing. I counted it myself.
Stop counting at 95. That's the Big Fry project you're on, right?
That's right. There are advantages to doing that.
Tunny is punished.
I can tell you that there was 10 in the 90s. 10 in the 2000s and 10 in the 2010s, and that's 30.
Forgot plus the 2 80s, in the 80s.
Plus the 80s. Plus 20s. Plus the women is what, AJ?
Shit. Wait.
And count a potato.
And you had the day
2017
off.
2017 was the 30th one. And then 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44.
All right, there we go.
I had to double check because I'm like, wait, no.
Touchdown, baby, or something.
Never do math on radio.
Are we counting the greatest Royal Rumble ever?
Abso-fucking-lutely not, because I said aptly named pay-per-view.
Okay, yep.
He did.
Please.
That's why I was one off. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, because Brock Dash, stop. All right. Dave, one or two?
Oh, you know I'm dropping a deuce, man. That's what I do.
Who forced Dan to do it for the new year?
Yep.
Get the funnel.
Yep.
Drop the kids at the pool. Let's go.
What? This shit's so thin it could go straight through a screen. What?
It's like spaghetti.
What the fuck?
What?
The strainer.
Dan, why did you say that? I'm having spaghetti for dinner. God damn it.
Anymore, you're not.
Not no more, you ain't.
Now I'm having two girls in a cup. All right.
Talk to
which
on
wrestler that has had the longest drought between their first Royal Rumble win and their second Royal Rumble win? So how many years between their first and second? Which wrestler has the longest? So it's got to be one of the few that have multiple wins. All right, let's see here. Dave, if you want to bring it a little closer, I can't see it. He put down Edge. Dan also said Edge. Tunney.
The other one?
Said Brock Lesnar. Or Cena. Okay, who is it? No. Pick if it's Brock or Cena. I'm not playing this game.
Brock Cena?
You have to pick.
Hey, guys, guess what? Edge is fucking wrong.
I will confirm Edge is wrong.
Dan, what were we thinking?
So Tunney.
Nah.
Is it Brock or Cena?
It's John Cena.
Final answer?
Yeah.
It was Brock.
Ah!
2003, 2022.
AJ, you find a good job of having a good poker face.
And once in a while it happens. It's my New Year's resolution, I guess. All right. Well, the last question, don't worry, Dan, Tunney. You could still win. Two-pointer.
Oh God, I got to win?
Name.
I got a wallet.
The four wrestlers
I could drive
that
a car
have won back-to-back Rumbles.
Yep. Come on. There we go.
And there's only four.
Time.
I don't know. I got names. I got four Ooh. Names.
All right. Dave says there's a glare, so I can't really see. HBK, Hulk. Austin, Cody, and Hulk.
Yeah, it's HBK.
Dan, Austin, Hogan, Cena, and Cody. Tunney.
You got it wrong.
It's HBK.
I got Hogan and Austin, right?
Who are the other two that you put?
You got it.
Can you read it?
Blank and blank. So, got it.
Ooh. Redacted and redacted. I don't think they won twice in a row, though, but they won.
Redacted did win, but one redacted was 99. The other one was 04.
I knew the answer when I seen it, and I didn't have it. So go
90,
ahead.
90 and 91, Hulk Hogan. 95, 96, Shawn Michaels. Yeah, 98, 99, Stone Cold. 2023, 2024, Cody Rhodes.
I miss
Austin
Shawn.
Was 97 and 98, wasn't he?
Or 97, 98, because 99 was...
Technically, he won 99 as well.
Didn't Vince win in 99?
Won 99.
Yeah. Won in 99, so he won three in a row, and he did not have a match against Kevin Owens.
I'll agree
I'm pretty
to
sure
one
Vince
of those.
Was legally declared the 99 winner.
You over the closing music! Congratulations, though.
Thank you.
All right, folks, no last call this week. The last call topic we can save for next week. This has been an excellent show. It's been a little bit longer than your normal DWI show. We've had a lot of fun. There was so much to break down. I'm glad all four of us were here. AJ, great trivia, man. Well done. Let everybody know what's going on with you and where they can find you.
Well, you can find me at Phenomenal AJB. That's AJB in all caps. You can follow us, obviously, all over the social media interwebs. Also, do not forget, we are not just podcast galore. We are articles galore. Sports, entertainment, you name it. We got it on thechairshot.com, especially with the articles, with TNA, with my big brother, the IWC War Chief Andrew Belez. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to watch TNA more because the Nemeths are fucking hilarious.
Oh, you're talking about the organization TNA. I was thinking.
I'm not talking about tits and ass.
Okay. I was like, I watch it every day. What are you talking about?
But speaking of ass.
Yes.
No, Dan, go ahead.
Wait, who are you talking about? You can follow me all over the worldwide social media interwebs. And it's me, DPP, and you can follow this show at Podcast DWI on Elon Musk's Playhouse Playground or Facebook.com/DWI Podcast.
Mr. Ungar, people, if you haven't listened to some of the holiday stuff we did, I kicked off with the 300th episode of Attitude of Aggression, which was an idiot's guide to the last decade of professional wrestling, and it was so fucking good. Go back and check that out. In addition, the Swaggies will be up probably on Attitude of Aggression before this Sunday morning, but they will be on Chairshot Radio Network this Sunday morning, the first part of the Swaggies. So there is more to come, and you will want to come more after you listen to the first part of the Swaggies. And I think I did that right. Dave, let everybody know what's up with you.
Yeah. You're going to come all over when you hear the Swaggies. Yeah, when you hear about Dadass of the Year, part one of the Swaggies. It's coming. That's all right. Let's start talking about coming. But yeah, you can check out the Swaggies part one this Sunday on the Chairshot Radio. And of course, it'll be on Attitude of Aggression. Not sure when. Got to get that done. But Attitude of Aggression 300. You can check me out on X at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG. I think we broke AJ there. Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression. At Attitude of Aggression, all one word on Instagram and Threads. Go, commies, go.
You can follow me at PC Tunney, Chairshot Radio Network, all your favorite streaming platforms, ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. And you've been. Goodbye. I got him. Listening.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
That was fucking great, guys. That was so much fun.
Well done, man. That was a lot of fun.
That's great.
No, that was good.
You did break me with the coming. I'm not gonna lie. I was not expecting that.
Wait, what?
It's not the first time I broke someone coming.
Wow. Frankie DeFalco told us this story about how he was staying at this hotel and God, all these pause. Groups.
Hold on, let me turn this off so I can't.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.